can I face Callum this morning?
I lock away the shame that creeps through my body when I remember how bold I was, when I remember how angry I was when he left. I lock away other feelings too, feelings I do not want to acknowledge, feelings that heat my blood and rattle my soul. I push away the strange dreams of wolves and mountains and monsters in the dark too. I take a deep breath. Come in.
Hello, little rabbit.
My stomach drops and I jolt upright, the sheets dropping to my midriff. Blake leans in the doorway. He's wearing dark breeches and a well-fitting black shirt. He looks like a villainous prince from the kinds of stories my mother would tell me. His dark hair, slightly messy like he's been running his fingers through it, only adds to the effect. I am not in the mood for him this morning. What are you doing here? I glance at my bedside table, looking for the silver letter opener I brought here. There is only a pile of medical books, an almost burnt-out candle, and Callum's red tartan collar on its surface.
Looking for something?
He asks. He pulls a small cloth package out of his pocket and unwraps it to reveal my silver blade within. I'd forgotten that I'd thrown it at him during the full moon. He holds it out to me, and it gleams in the cold sunlight. Warily, I slide out of bed and pad across the floor toward him. He tracks my movements. When I reach for it, his lips part slightly. I drop my arm to my side. Why do you want me to take it so much? What have you done to it?
Nothing.
He seems to study me. He's tall, and I have to look up. I feel like he's challenging me, and I don't want to back down. I cannot help the small burst of interest that sparks inside me too. Like Callum, Blake is an alpha. He must be around the same age too. He has the Southlands accent and says he worked in the King's Guard. How did he rise to such a high position among the wolves?
Why did you choose to come here, little rabbit?
Asks Blake. I didn't. I was kidnapped. His eyes gleam, as if he knows I am lying. He removes the letter opener from the cloth, and his skin hisses as the silver touches his skin. He flips it over so he's holding the blade, and offers me the hilt.
I've done nothing to it,
he says.
Take it.
I let him hold it for a moment longer, knowing it is burning his skin. Then I take it. His gaze flits to my hand, my face. Curiosity blazes in his eyes. His expression settles back to boredom as he walks over to my bookshelf. Get out of my chambers, I say. He runs his index finger along the dusty spines.
Are you sure they're your chambers?
A horrible feeling washes over me. I glance at the piles of medical tomes, the strange pots of herbs, and that dark book of handwritten experiments that I've been reading. I told myself I never wanted to meet the previous inhabitant of this room. I stare at Blake's back as he thumbs through the books. This was your room, wasn't it? I say flatly.
This is my room. I no longer reside here, but I use it for some of my most interesting possessions.
I don't like the way he says that, as if he's storing me in here too. Get out, Blake. Callum won't be pleased when I tell him about this. Blake turns and props an elbow on the bookshelf.
Did he not tell you?
Tell me what?
Callum's not here.
I frown. You're lying. A dimple punctures his cheek.
He rode out this morning. He's gone to find the Wolf King.
My insides turn to ice. Chapter 38. Callum has left, after everything that happened between us. Last night, I betrayed my kingdom when I kissed him. Despite that, he has ridden out to find the Wolf King, someone who will undoubtedly either execute me or send me straight back to Sebastian. And he didn't even say goodbye. Shame spreads through my body. Shame that something that was so monumental to me obviously meant nothing to him. I wonder how many women he must have kissed for that to be the case. I force my expression to settle into one of indifference. I will not let this serpent know that his news has rattled me. I knew he would be riding out to find his king soon, I just hadn't realized he had gone yet. If you're trying to create trouble, you will find none here. The corner of Blake's lip quirks.
Pity. I do enjoy trouble.
Why are you here?
I'm looking for something.
He slides a blue leather-bound book from the shelf.
Ah, here it is.
I don't catch the full title, but I see the word law in elegant calligraphy across the front, and a dusting of golden stars on the spine. He tucks it beneath his arm and walks to the door. What book is that? I ask. He pauses, and his shoulders stiffen. He clearly doesn't want me to know what he's reading. When he turns around, though, his expression is unrattled. He nods at the pile of medical books by my bed.
Are you trying to find out if you could have saved her?
My fist tightens around the silver blade. His voice is casual, as though the death of my mother was meaningless. That's none of your concern.
What were her symptoms?
When I merely glare at him, he shrugs.
Don't you want to know whether I could have saved her?
My breathing is fast. You couldn't have. You would have been a child when she died.
As would you.
He waits. I hate that he knows how desperate I am for answers. She had cold sweats, fevers, shaking, and pain, I blurt before I can change my mind about confiding in him. She would hallucinate sometimes and heal slowly. She was weak. She got weaker every day.
Was she worse in the morning or the evening?
I remember her frail form in the four-poster bed. The sunlight seeped through the palace shutters. Morning.
Was she treated for her illness?
Yes.
A potion or brew, I presume?
I nod, remembering that foul-smelling herbal liquid that was forced down her throat. Remembering the taste of it from when they fed it to me when I got sick too.
And did your father love your mother?
What's that got to do with anything?
Answer the question.
I grip my teeth. My father doesn't love anyone. Blake shrugs.
That sounds like no disease I know of.
He moves out into the landing and pauses.
Be careful, little rabbit. Fiona has gone too. Isla has been left in charge of your welfare. You're alone among the wolves.
When he's gone, I walk over to the window with my fist clenched. I'm not sure whether Blake was trying to scare me or provoke me, or both. How dare he try to bait me with questions about my mother? Regardless, I cannot believe Callum has left me alone. Mist hangs over the loch and twists around the peaks of the mountains. The vastness of the landscape makes me feel small. I wonder how long Callum will be gone for. I want to give him a piece of my mind, but I dread his return too. Because when he comes back, the Wolf King will be with him. For the next couple of days, I'm glad to have my job in the kitchens. It distracts me and stops my thoughts from becoming too dark. Callum thinks wearing his collar will keep me safe, but it seems that without him here in the castle, the hostility aimed at me is palpable. When I head to the kitchens in the mornings, Magnus and his rat-faced friend shout lewd comments as they pass on their way to training. While picking herbs in the kitchen gardens one afternoon, Isla whispers something behind her hand to her friend and snickers as she swans by. And only Mrs. MacDonald and Kaylee speak to me. Everyone else merely eyes me with contempt. They do not want a human in their midst. The strip of red tartan around my neck prevents any further trouble, at least. I eat as much as I can during lunch, so I do not have to stray downstairs after dark when the alcohol comes out and the bagpipe music starts playing. I ignore Isla's comments and Magnus's leers, and I spend the rest of my days reading while the anger inside me grows thorns and shoots. Why has Callum left me? Is he okay? On the third morning, I wake at dawn. The sun has not yet risen, and the air smells strangely like perfume and roses. I slept restlessly and dreamt of wolves and wilderness and darkness. I turn to my bedside table to reach for Callum's collar. My heart stills. No. I jump out of bed and frantically shift books aside, sending parchment fluttering onto the floorboards. My blood turns to ice, then to fire. The collar is not there. Someone has been in my chambers. A hurricane rages in my chest, much wilder than the winds currently rattling the window of my bedchambers. Isla. It has to be her. I stomp across the room, wrench open the wardrobe door, and change into the first dress I can find. How dare she? I storm down the spiral staircase into a corridor. I'm going to the Great Hall, and I will show Isla that it was a mistake to provoke me. I will show her what happens when she steals from the princess of the... I make impact with a mass of dark hair and stringy muscle and stagger back along the torchlit corridor. My stomach drops, and my feet grow roots that bind me to the stone floor.
Hello, sweetheart,
Magnus leers. A slow grin spreads across his face, revealing a missing tooth. His two friends, the male with rat-like features and the muscular male with a dark beard, stand on either side of him, both in their green kilts, blocking my path. For a moment, I cannot move. Then my instincts kick in. I turn and try to run back down the corridor, but the bigger male grabs my arm. Get off me! I try to wrench away, but his grip is like steel.
Where are you going, sweetheart?
Drawls Magnus. The air is sour with sweat. Magnus's gaze travels up and down my body, and my skin turns cold wherever it lands. I grit my teeth and glare up at him. When Callum finds out,
Callum isn't here, and you're not wearing his collar.
He steps closer to me, and his acrid scent floods my nostrils. I almost gag.
That makes you free game.
You will pay for this. I try to pull away, but the bigger man's hand tightens around my arm. Callum will kill you, you fools. The three of them laugh, and the wild and thorny thing that has been growing inside me for days sets alight. I will make you pay for this.
There's no need to be like that, says Magnus. We can all be friends here. Now, the way I see it, we know something about you that you don't want our acting Wolf King to know about, princess. What will you do for us to stop us from...
The warmth from another person washes over my back, and a slender hand clasps my neck. Time slows down as I feel the whisper of silk against my throat. My heart is racing so fast, I think it will burst from my chest. The gloomy corridor sways around me. I force myself to calm down, and everything comes back into focus. Curling my fist, I get ready to fight. Only Magnus and the other two men have already staggered back with fear in their eyes.
We're sorry. We didn't know.
Magnus's expression is wary.
We thought she was Callum's. We never would have, if we'd known she was yours.
When they get no response, they back away, then scurry toward the Great Hall. Heart in my throat, I spin around. And I find myself face to face with Blake. I'm breathing fast as my mind races to process what just happened, what is still happening. What are you? His gaze drops to the collar that now sits around my neck. His collar. Chapter 39. I reach for the collar. Blake's fingers curl around my wrist before I can rip it off.
I wouldn't do that if I were you,
he says. He's standing too close. His body heat bores into me, despite the cool expression on his face. The shadows wrap around him, and his dark shirt and breeches make him look at one with the darkness. My breathing is fast, and I'm not sure if it's because of the danger I just escaped, or the danger I'm now in. I try to calm my nerves. I lift my chin. Why not?
Because I will not offer it to you again.
I choke out a laugh. Why would I want this? The firelight from a nearby torch dances across his eyes.
You have no friends here, little rabbit. Callum is gone. Fiona is gone. Ryan is weak. And Callum is not as well liked as he may think. There are many more animals like Magnus, who will take advantage of the situation you find yourself in.
What makes you any better than Magnus? His expression is devoid of any emotion. There's a chill in the gloomy corridor, and my breath plumes in front of my face and mingles with his.
Did you ever wonder why I have a Southlands accent?
He asks.
My mother was a human. She lived just south of the borderlands. One night, a pack of wolves raided her village. One of them forced themselves on her, and the consequence was me.
His tone is smooth, like dark silk.
I tracked him down, of course, many years later. He cried when I showed him exactly what he had created.
His eyes bore into mine, and inside them there is nothing but darkness. Yet I relax my arm in his grip.
There is nothing more deplorable than rape.
While his expression is unreadable, his gaze is intense. It is as if I am one of the strange books in his chambers that he is trying to read. Understanding seems to pass between us. When he releases my wrist, I drop my arm to my side. The air is thick with silence. I feel as if I should say something, but words evade me. I open my mouth. He turns and walks away, torchlight and shadows flickering across his profile as he passes the sconces on the stone walls.
Come to my chambers at nightfall,
he says. My eyebrows lift, but before I can say anything, he disappears around the corner. I'm rooted to the flagstones. I'd planned to confront Isla, but after the experience I've just had, I'm shaken. Not only by what Magnus planned to do, but by Blake as well. I decide to head back to my bedchambers. On the way to the stairwell, Isla and a pack of her friends round a corner.
Lose something?
She asks sweetly as I pass. I spin around. All the rage that has been building in my chest longs for release. Where is it? I snarl.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Her voice is falsely sweet, and she smirks to indicate that she knows exactly what I'm talking about. She smells like rose perfume, the scent that lingered in my chambers this morning. The three girls standing around her snicker. Do you think he will want you if you steal from him? I ask. She swishes her dirty blonde hair over her shoulder and steps closer to me.
Do you really think he wants a southern human whore?
She makes each word sound more poisonous than the last.
Once he's tired of you, he'll find a wolf. He'll find his mate. And when he's ready...
Her gaze snaps to Blake's collar. Her eyes widen in surprise before a look of wariness crosses her face. Then she releases a harsh laugh.
You've moved on fast, haven't you?
She steps back into her group of friends.
Come on, let's go to breakfast. I'm starving, and this southern slut is ruining my appetite.
They walk away, whispering and giggling.
Don't steal from me again,
I say. Isla doesn't respond, but her shoulders stiffen. There is a storm coming. I feel it as nightfall approaches. The air is static and close, and the wolves seem more excitable than usual. I can hear them outside, shouting and laughing and brawling within the castle grounds. I wonder if that's a wolf thing. Perhaps they can sense the storm, and it agitates them in some way. It makes me glad I have protection while Callum is away, even if it is Blake I must turn to. I sit cross-legged on my bed and examine the collar he put around my neck. It is black and feather-light, with a faint pattern on it made up of crisscrossing blacks and greys and other shades of night. It's made of silk, and I run it through my fingers. At its center, there's a black obsidian stone that absorbs the light from my candle. I cannot decide whether to go to Blake's chambers or not. There are many reasons not to. For one thing, it would be completely inappropriate for me to visit a man's bedchambers, especially alone, after dark. For another, Callum told me Blake was the most dangerous wolf in this entire kingdom. And yet, the story Blake told me about his mother haunts me. A moment of understanding passed between us in that corridor. I wonder if we both have broken souls. Maybe he's not as bad as Callum thinks. Curiosity flares within me too. If his mother was human, does that make him a half-wolf, Why are the wolves here so afraid of him? And why did he protect me?
As the candle burns low, flicking shadows over the shelves that creak beneath Blake's books, my intrigue finally outweighs my trepidation. I want to know why he has invited me to his chambers, and I'm certain he won't harm me. Whatever his game is, I think he needs me in one piece in order to win. Thunder rumbles through the castle walls as I slide off my bed, signaling the arrival of the storm. I pull on my boots and creep down the spiral staircase. The torches in the corridors flicker violently, as if the flames are as excited by the storm as the wolves that shout and roar in the great hall. I stick to the shadows, flattening myself against the wall as a couple of drunken wolves pass by on their way to the festivities. When I reach Blake's door, I take a deep breath. The last time I was here, he shifted and chased me through the forest. I'm not sure what I'll be faced with this time. I gather my nerves and I knock. I wait a few seconds. The rain hammers against the castle, and there's a flash of light through the narrow window at the end of the corridor as lightning strikes. There's a thud within Blake's chambers, followed by the sound of someone stumbling. The door opens a crack. Blake's dark hair is messy, as if he's been running his hands through it, and his skin is clammy. The top few buttons of his white shirt are undone, and his sleeves are rolled up to his elbows to reveal corded forearms. His eyes are bloodshot.
"What are you doing here?"
he asks. Behind him, his room is a mess. The black sheets of his four-poster bed are crumpled. There are books all over the floor, and his desk is littered with small glass jars. My brow furrows. "You told me to come at nightfall."
"Oh, right."
His words are a little slurred. He tilts his head to the side.
"Why would a rabbit seek out a wolf?"
His usual scent of dark forests is mixed with a faint aroma of alcohol. There's another scent in the air too, herbal and familiar. It puts me on edge. "Are you drunk?" I ask.
"No."
He starts to close the door.
"Now's not a good time."
Thunder rumbles down the corridor, and Blake flinches. I put my hand on the door, keeping it open, as a flash of lightning reveals the handwritten label on one of the jars. "Is that Wolfsbane?" I push past him into the room. He sighs, then closes the door. I pick up the jar. The lid is off, and it's releasing the dangerous scent I recognized. I turn to him. "What is this? Are you trying to poison yourself?"
"Course not."
He slumps onto the end of his four-poster bed and threads his fingers through his dark hair.
"Go away."
As well as Wolfsbane, I note lavender, dried chamomile, and some valerian root on his desk. I pick up a pot reading Milk of the Poppy. There's a decanter full of clear liquid beside them, and when I sniff it, I wince at the pungent alcoholic odor. Thunder rattles the jars, and Blake's knuckles whiten as he grips his hair. "Are you trying to make a sleep aid?" I ask. "Why the Wolfsbane? Unless..." Callum told me they didn't have painkillers up here, because the wolf inside them would fight it off. "You're using Wolfsbane to weaken the wolf and give the other ingredients time to work, aren't you? Why do you need a sleep aid?" The room lights up, and the force of the thunder makes the mountains tremble. Blake's whole body hardens, and a rough sound scrapes the back of his throat.
"Fuck's sake!
Goddess, you're afraid of the storm!" He removes his hands from his hair and slowly looks up at me.
"If you tell anyone, I will kill you."
I know the dark image he cultivates is important to him. I believe he will do what it takes to prevent that from being shattered. "I know," I say. When the thunder sounds again, he shuts his eyes, his chest inflating as he takes a deep breath. He groans and lies back on the bed, his feet planted on the floorboards. "It's only a storm," I say, placing my hands on my hips.
"Thanks for that. Very helpful."
"Why are you afraid?"
"None of your business."
I hover by his desk, unsure of what to do. As I'm debating, he half crawls up the bed and slumps on his pillows, groaning again.
I sigh.
Tentatively, I approach. I think you've taken too much, I say.
Oh, do you? Well, thank goodness that Callum's little pet, who only learned of Wolfsbane a couple of weeks ago, is here to offer me her sage advice.
He turns away from me.
Go away.
He smells of sweat and soap and the forest. His shirt clings to his muscular back. Seriously, Blake, you don't look good.
Maybe it's because you're irritating me.
Or maybe it's because you've just taken poison, you fool. Where's the antidote?
I'm the healer, not you.
You're a mess, and your potion hasn't worked. You're not asleep, are you? Lightning floods the room, and he curls in on himself as he braces for the thunder that cracks through the sky moments later. I sigh and perch on the edge of the bed. You know, I used to be afraid of storms when I was a child.
Hiss off.
I smirk. Then something softens in me, though part of me is glad to have seen him in this way. Sure, I will be able to use it to my advantage at some point. He's in such a pitiful state. I cannot help but feel a bit of sympathy for him. When I was afraid as a child, my mother would sing to me. I try to recall her melody. Softly, I start to hum. The tune always brought me comfort, and I hope that it will do the same for him. When she sang it, I would imagine myself running through the wild grass, the moon shining, the stars clear and bright, and I would know that I was not alone. I was safe. Blake's shoulders soften, and he releases a gentle sigh.
I'm serious. If you speak of this, you're dead.
I shush him and continue with the soft melody. I have not thought of this song for a while, and I find myself getting lost in it as the thunder rattles the castle and lightning illuminates the loch through the window. It is not until I hear a gentle snore that I stop, startled. Despite the storm outside, Blake is asleep. He's rolled onto his back, and one of his arms is flung above his head. I take the opportunity to openly look at the angry white scar that marks his forearm near his elbow. It looks like a bite from a very large beast, a wolf, perhaps. His expression is peaceful, and it's a stark contrast to the dark violence he usually emanates. He looks almost pleasant, handsome even, without the smirk on his lips or the cunning ambition glinting in his eyes. His chest rises and falls softly. I blink, suddenly aware that I've been staring too long. I stand abruptly and cross the room. I prefer you when you're sleeping, I mutter, as I close the door and head back to my chambers. I will have my revenge on Isla. I'd like to have my revenge on Magnus, too. But that awful wolf seems to be giving me a wide berth. He's not been in the Great Hall or running drills in the yard for the past couple of days. In fact, most wolves seem to be avoiding me. It seems Blake's collar acts as a larger deterrent than Callum's, even though I've not seen the dark-haired wolf since the storm. The negative side of this is that Kaylee will no longer speak to me in the kitchens. Her face turned white when she first saw the black strip around my neck, and since then, she's wanted nothing to do with me. Isla, however, has taken every opportunity to call me a slut and to giggle with her friends about me every time I see her. She knew how much danger I'd be in without Callum's collar. She wanted someone to hurt me, and what's more, she hasn't given it back. I cannot let it stand. I get the idea from the potion Blake made on the night of the storm. I take some wolfsbane and some buckthorn from his stores in the infirmary and crush them into a powder. I'm not trying to kill her. I just need to neutralize the wolf so the laxative properties of buckthorn can kick in. I want to humiliate her a little. When I'm left alone in the kitchens, I pull out the small vial with the powder in. I pop out the cork and hover over the bowl of mashed potato I'm intending to set down in front of Isla and her friends. Someone grabs my wrist, and I turn.
Is that why you chose to come here, little rabbit?
Blake's eyes gleam with curiosity.
To poison us all?
If he's embarrassed about the other night, he doesn't show it. He's as well put together as usual, with his black shirt emphasizing his toned chest and an unreadable expression on his face.
My heart pounds. If he tells anyone what he just caught me doing, I'll surely be killed before Callum can return. Only Isla, for stealing from me.
He brings the vial to his nose and inhales deeply.
Wolfsbane, death is a harsh punishment for theft. I didn't think you had it in you. Though, if you're going to kill her, perhaps you could use a different method. Poison is my trademark. They'll think it was me.
It's not... I'm not going to kill her.
My cheeks flame. The wolfsbane is just there to neutralize the wolf. He smells the vial again. Then he grins and dimples puncture his cheeks.
Buckthorn.
He shakes his head, plucking the vial from my fingers.
You've put too much wolfsbane in. This will kill her.
He nods at the mashed potato.
Isla is lactose intolerant. A knob of butter should have the desired effect.
He pushes the cork into the vial, then pockets it.
Mind if I keep this? I have a better use for it.
He walks across the kitchen and pauses in the doorway. His gaze is appraising as he looks me up and down.
You're a devious little thing, aren't you?
Strangely, it doesn't sound like an insult. My breathing doesn't return to normal until I can no longer hear his retreating footsteps. Later, after Kaylee and I have finished serving the food, I sit alone at the end of one of the tables in the great hall, with my bowl of stew and mashed potato. As usual, everyone is giving me a wide berth. About halfway through the meal, Isla stands up with a panicked expression. Her stomach growls so loudly that the chatter in the hall desists. She releases gas, and her cheeks turn bright red. A number of the surrounding wolves, including her friends, roar with laughter. I suppress my smile as I look resolutely in the other direction. Blake catches my eye from the alpha table and winks, before going back to his conversation with Robert. Isla flees the great hall. Later, I sleep better than I have in the days since Callum left, until a loud sound wakes me. I sit upright in bed. Outside, men are shouting. I hurtle to the window. The sun is rising, and the sky is painted crimson. People on horseback thunder down the hill toward the castle. The male at the front wears red tartan. My heart jumps into my throat. Callum, he's home. I pull on a dress, then run out of my chambers. Chapter 40. I sit on the edge of Callum's four-poster bed and wait. All my life, it seems, I have been waiting for something. Waiting to be dismissed by my father. Waiting to be wed to the highest bidder. Waiting to be seen. To be heard. To be used. To be free. I have been waiting for Callum now for days. I am tired of waiting. Since he's been gone, something wild and ugly has sprouted in my chest and grown thorns. I knew he would need to leave at some point, but he left without saying goodbye. He kissed me, then abandoned me. He left me to the wolves. What's more, he left to retrieve the Wolf King, who will either trade me for the Heart of the Moon in the coming days, or realize I'm of no value to him and execute me. What is to be my fate now he is here? It's always been part of my plan to be sent back to my people. I wanted to make a trade of my own with my father. Information on the wolves and the Wolf King himself, in exchange for my freedom. I have plenty of that now. The more time I've spent with Callum, the harder I've realized that will be. I do not want to betray him. In fact, I'd started to wonder whether I wanted to leave him at all. I wonder now if I have been foolish and misinterpreted his affections like a naive princess with a silly crush. I am envious of the Northland's winds that rattle the window and howl against the stone walls. How good it would feel to unleash that rage with no thought to the consequences. My muscles tighten when footsteps approach the door. It bursts open, and my breath catches in my throat. Callum stands in the doorway, and he looks every bit the fierce warrior I feared he was when I first met him. He is covered in dirt and blood and gore. His shirt is drenched in it and sticks to his muscular torso and chest. There's mud smeared across his face, and it has dried in his hair, slicking it back from his forehead.
His breathing is fast and agitated. But when he sees me, a broad grin spreads across his face. It is infectious. I have to fight the twitch at the corner of my lip.
There you are,
he says.
I was worried when you weren't in your chambers and I found this.
He lifts up his collar and the red stone glints in the firelight. Where did you find that? His forehead furrows.
It was beside your bed.
I grit my teeth as he shuts the door and places it on the small table by his armchair. Isla must have slipped into my chambers when I came down here. He turns and looks at me, his brow creasing.
Is something the matter?
I let out a laugh, sharp like splintered glass, and his frown deepens. You've been gone for days, Callum, and you're truly going to ask me that. Have you forgotten I am the princess of your enemy kingdom? That our people are at war? That your people despise me? That you left me alone after the moment we shared? His eyes sharpen.
Did something happen while I was away?
Does it matter? You still left? His expression softens beneath the grime. He steps toward me, and when I tense, he halts. He sighs, rocking back on his heels and leaning back against the table.
I'm sorry, Princess. I didn't want to go. We got word that the situation had worsened not long after. After I left your chambers. The king could have died. I had to leave straight away. I had no choice.
I swallow. There's always a choice.
Not always. Not in this.
You chose not to say goodbye. He runs a hand over the back of his neck and winces. I note how his shoulders are slumped, and he's using the table to support himself. Is he hurt? Has he slept? Is that blood his? Worry threads through my anger. I can't back down, though. Not until I've had my say. He meets my eyes, and there's a plea within them.
I'm sorry. If there was another choice, I would have taken it.
He shakes his head.
Did you at least get my note?
Your note?
Aye, I left it with...
His gaze drops to the black collar around my neck, and his eyes narrow.
What's that?
His voice is dangerously low. I have never seen him stand so still. Irritation flares inside me. How can he be jealous when he left me to fend for myself? You know what it is, I say. He swallows.
Why are you wearing it?
Because you left me alone, and Isla...
Did he hurt you?
His voice is rough. No, he protected me. Callum's eyes flash with emotion. I cannot tell whether it's anger or hurt.
Blake doesn't protect anyone, not without a price.
Has it ever occurred to you that he's not as bad as you make him out to be?
He is every bit as bad as I make him out to be. And I leave for a few days and I come back and you're wearing his collar.
I had no choice.
I thought you said there was always a choice. And what? You chose him?
His voice is dark and his breathing shallow.
Did he touch you?
Rage jolts through my body and I straighten. How dare you ask me that?
Did he?
I jump to my feet. You left me, Callum.
Take it off!
The command in his tone makes my muscles tighten. I step toward him. The scent of the outdoors and battle clings to him. Wet earth and steel and mountains. I am not one of your pack, and you have no right to order me around. He closes the space between us. I'm not sure if the heat that stokes me is coming from him, whether it's burning inside me, but my breathing is fast and my cheeks flame. I'm angry, so angry. There is a wilder emotion inside me too, and it wants release. His eyes narrow.
Take it off.
He has a wolf inside him, and I want to provoke it. No, I say. He crashes to his knees and cries out. The unlit candle sitting on his small table falls onto its side, and the floorboards splinter beneath the strain of catching him. Callum! He grabs his shoulder.
Fuck!
All the heat drains out of me, and I dropped to the floor in front of him. You're hurt.
I got shot. Silver. Thought I'd got all the bullet out.
He releases a soft, pained laugh.
Obviously not.
I lift his chin. Let me see.
It's nothing.
He shrugs me away.
Don't worry yourself, Princess. I'll be fine.
I'll be the judge of that. He lets me undo the buttons of his damp shirt, and I push it off his shoulders to reveal his strong, muscular chest. My breath hitches at the sight of him. He's dripping with sweat, and it highlights the ridges of his torso and his large biceps. He was shirtless the first time we met, but then, the sheer size of him was threatening. Now, a completely different feeling stirs inside me, until my gaze moves to his shoulder. The veins spreading from his bullet wound are black. It's not healing, and I catch the scent of something herbal among the blood. Something that makes my stomach turn.
It'll be fine.
Callum's eyelids are drooping.
I've been short with silver before. My body will push it out eventually, it's just that.
He takes a deep, wheezing breath.
Oh, it's just a wee bit painful in the meantime.
Callum? I tried to sound gentle, but my heart is pounding. The bullet had wolfsbane on it. You're not going to heal on your own. I need to go and get...
No.
He growls. He has the antidote. Callum's eyes blaze.
I'd rather die than have him in here.
No, you wouldn't, you stubborn wolf. I stand up, and he grabs my ankle.
No.
He's so weak that when I jerk away, he has to slam his hand against the ground to stop himself from toppling over. His chambers spin around me, and fear tightens around my heart. I shake my head. I won't let you die. He looks up at me, pale and drenched in blood and sweat. There's a plea in his eyes. Don't do this. You're going to be okay, I tell him. I need to get him.
Rory!
He roars after me. I bolt out of his room and run as fast as I can toward Blake's chambers. Chapter 41. I burst into Blake's room. He's draped in an armchair by the window and doesn't look up from the book he's reading, the blue tome with stars on the spine that he took from my chambers.
Please, do come in, little rabbit.
He flicks to the next page.
No need to knock.
He's hurt. You need to come, now.
What's wrong with him?
Wolfsbane. His expression is unreadable, but he gets up. He places the book on his writing desk, which has been tidied after the other night. In fact, the space is now immaculate. The bed is made, books are neatly tucked into the shelves along the wall, and the sheepskin rug by the hearth no longer glints with shards of broken glass. He pulls a black leather case out of a drawer in his armoire, then heads to the door. I fall into step beside him. When we enter Callum's chambers, my stomach drops. He's pulled himself up onto the bed, and his downy quilt is red with his blood. His breathing is raspy, and he's barely moving.
Callum!
I bolt across the room and grab his hand. His fingers don't curl around mine like they usually do. His skin is cold. Dots dance in front of my eyes as Blake kneels by my side. He grabs Callum's shoulder and inspects the wound.
Why didn't you ride back earlier, you stubborn fool?
Callum's eyes are glazed. I'm not sure he can hear what Blake is saying. The chambers swim around me. I recognize the look on his face. My mother had that expression not long before she died.
Hold his shoulders.
Blake's command jolts me back into my body. I lean over the bed as Blake produces a small vial of translucent liquid from his case.
Brace yourself,
says Blake.
He's not going to like this.
I force myself to breathe, even though the air is thick with the scent of blood and poison. It mingles with the heavy wood smoke coming from the fireplace. I nod, remembering how hard Ryan fought against the antidote when it was given to him. Callum must be double his size and strength. Blake uncorks the vial and dips about half of it on the wound.
It hisses, and my muscles tense, readying for a fight. Callum doesn't react. A wave of nausea rolls over me. Come on, Callum, please.
Blake brushes me aside and grabs Callum's hair in his fist. He dips the rest of the liquid into his mouth, clumping his hand over his lips. When he pulls away, the translucent liquid dribbles down Callum's chin. Blake sighs, and panic fizzes in my chest.
Why isn't it working?
I ask. Blake stares at Callum, and his expression is unreadable.
If this is how you wish to go, then don't let me stop you.
He rests his forearms on the mattress and leans closer.
Don't worry. I'll look after your pet when you're gone.
Blake!
I warn. Callum's eyes flicker open for a moment.
You know, I haven't decided how I'll fuck her first.
Blake's voice is low and seductive.
With my fingers or my tongue.
Callum's head rolls to the side and he grunts. The corner of Blake's lip lifts.
What do you think I should do? There are so many possibilities. Perhaps I'll have her ride my face.
Callum growls, but the noise dies in his throat as his back arches up from the mattress.
Stop it!
I snarl. Blake leans closer, his voice dropping to a whisper.
Or perhaps I'll have her on her knees before me, while I sit on James's throne, my fist in her hair, her lips moving up and down my cock as I fuck her mouth.
Callum's eyes jolt open. They are enraged, and they don't move from Blake's. He grips the bedsheets.
I wonder,
continues Blake.
That's enough!
I lurch at Blake. He hooks his arms around my waist, pulls me onto his lap, and slams his lips against mine.
I stiffen. Every muscle hardens as my blood turns to ice.
For a moment, time is moving too quickly and too slowly at the same time. It all floods back. Blake's mouth crushed against mine, his strong arm holding me to him, the feeling of his thighs tensed beneath me.
He's barely breathing. I don't think I am either. I jolt away and raise my hand to slap him.
Only, before I make impact with his face, the air is knocked from my lungs. There's heat and muscle against my back and my chest as the three of us crash to the ground. The floorboards groan, or perhaps it's Blake as his head hits the floor. Callum's growl vibrates against my ear. The scent of male sweat floods my nostrils. I scramble from between them, my hair in my face, my breathing fast. Blake gets the upper hand for a moment, and I almost stagger into the copper bathtub as they roll over on the ground. I dart aside, grabbing onto the mahogany bedpost as Callum pins him down and wraps his hands around Blake's neck.
There he is,
says Blake on a choked breath. Callum's eyes are feral. All the muscles in his arms are pronounced. Fury ripples from him in waves. It is almost inconceivable that he was lying on the bed, close to death just a moment ago. Blake tilts his head to catch my eye. There's blood dribbling from his nose.
A little help,
he says through wheezing breaths. My heartbeat slams against my ribs. My mind isn't processing what is happening. I feel as if I've floated out of my body, and I'm watching from far away. Callum was dying, and Blake kissed me, and now they are fighting. Why on earth would I help? My gaze snaps back to Callum's face, and the wolf that is now glaring behind his eyes. The wolf that is fighting both Blake and the wolfsbane.
Aurora!
Blake chokes. I crash back into my body. Callum, I say. Despite the fury etched into every muscle of his body, his gaze snaps to mine. The distraction is enough for Blake to slam him onto his back. Callum groans, resting his head on the floorboards, the fight draining from his body.
Fuck.
He moans.
I know. I know.
Blake soothes. Blood is dripping from his nose, and it glints in the morning light.
One of these days, Blake.
Callum murmurs.
Yes, yes. I'm sure you'll try to kill me.
Blake pushes himself to his knees. Callum grabs his wrist before he can get up fully.
Why?
A sly smile spreads across Blake's face.
Because I need you alive.
He lightly slaps him on the cheek a couple of times. Then he gets up and walks to the door.
Don't ever touch her again,
says Callum. Blake glances over his shoulder at me. His expression is cold, a mirror of my own expression, I'm sure. He turns swiftly away and disappears into the corridor.
Princess, are you all right?
My gaze snaps to Callum, and my eyebrows raise with a thousand questions. You're asking me that? He offers me a soft smile as I crash to my knees beside him. Chapter 42. I press my forehead against Callum's and let his heat envelop me. My eyes burn. I cannot bear the thought of him being taken from me. I thought I was going to lose you, I whisper, my throat thick. He puts his hand on my cheek, his palm rough and firm.
I'm okay.
You weren't waking up. I thought...
I'm right here.
His tone is gentle. There's a hint of amusement there, too. What's so funny? My breath mingles with his.
If I'd known getting injured would cause you to be so nice to me, I'd have done it sooner.
I pull back slightly and frown. Don't say that. His skin is pale, and he's coated in a layer of sweat and grime. I can smell the battle on him. Blood and earth and steel. But his scent of the mountains seeps through and warms me with its familiarity. Black veins spread from the wound in his shoulder. They are fainter than before, but he must be in pain. The wolf has gone from his eyes, and it is the man who now watches me.
I thought of you every hour I was away,
he says.
All I could think of was getting back to you. I shouldn't have left you. I won't do it again.
My throat thickens. I try to harden my heart. I try to freeze the warmth that spreads through my veins. Because it's not true. He will trade me for the Heart of the Moon to save his people, and soon this will be over. You will, I whisper. His jaw hardens.
No.
His voice is rough and raw.
No, I won't.
I touch his face, my fingertips brushing over his stubble. Callum, you brought me here for a reason, and now the Wolf King has returned.
I will find another way.
Callum. He slides his hand to the back of my neck and pulls my forehead to his.
I will find another way.
His breath is hot on my skin, and my blood heats up. Our lips are almost touching. I long to sink further into his warmth, to take comfort in it, even though it would be foolish, even though it would destroy this wavering barrier between us and leave me open to all the pain that is yet to come. He gently strokes the back of my neck, and my eyelids close. It makes me feel safe and warm and cared for. I wonder, when I am sent back home, whether I will ever feel this way again, whether I will ever feel anything again. Without thinking, I kiss him. He groans softly as he parts his lips. It makes me want to climb on top of him. I want to be closer to him in any way that I can. But he is injured, and I know how much it will hurt if I succumb to these feelings completely. I pull away.
You're not going back to him.
His tone is so steady and strong that I almost believe him. He tucks me back down, and I nestle my head against his good shoulder. He sighs, and his breathing and heartbeat become steadier as the minutes pass by.
Princess, will you do me a favor?
Yes, I say, surprising myself with how quickly I agree.
Will you take Blake's collar off now?
I jolt upright, and he watches me with sleepy eyes. Goddess, I forgot I was wearing it! I pull it off and toss it to the other side of his chambers.
It hits the foot of his armchair by the window. Shame surges through me as I recall the argument I had with Callum before I knew he was injured. I wanted to provoke him. I feel worse when I think of the things Blake said about me. What he did to me. He kissed me. I didn't choose him over you, Callum. I would never do that. Isla. I turn back to him, but his eyes are closed. There's a soft, satisfied smile on his face, and his bare chest moves up and down steadily. I'll tell you later. I put his arm around my neck. Come on, let's get you into bed. I try to nudge him to his feet, but I think I'd have more luck trying to pick up one of the mountains outside. So I nestle beside him on the floorboards and let his warmth cocoon me. His arm tightens around my shoulder, pulling me close, and he sighs again. Soon, his gentle snores fill his chambers. It is late at night when Callum and I sit on his bed, leaning against the headboard, eating bread and cheese that one of the servants brought us. They helped me change the bedding while he slept too, so his quilt is no longer stained with blood. The change in him is evident, even in the flickering candlelight. He slept all day. Color has come back to his cheeks, and his eyes are bright. He no longer smells like a battlefield after I helped him wash the grime from his skin, and his wound is almost completely healed. He's changed from his battle-worn kilt into his loose-fitting cotton breeches and rests his forearms against his knees. He gave me a shirt to wear too, because my dress was covered in his blood, and I didn't want to leave him to change in my chambers. I sit with my knees close to my chest, the material pulled down to my calves. It is revealing, and feels intimate to be wearing his clothes. It smells like him too, and I can barely concentrate as I tell him what happened while he was away. He is listening attentively, though, and his gaze darkens when I tell him I suspect Isla stole his collar from me.
Are you sure it was her?
He asks. I snap my head toward him. Yes!
I'm not saying I don't believe you, Princess. I'm just surprised, I suppose. I knew the lass had a wee crush on me, but to defy her alpha like that.
His eyebrows knit together.
She gave you the note, though.
What note?
The note I...
Understanding dawns on his face. He drops his chunk of bread onto the plate and rubs his face with both hands.
Fuck. No wonder you were so angry with me.
You wrote me a note before you left.
I'd never have left without saying anything at all.
His jawline hardens.
I'll be speaking with Isla about this. I promise you, Princess, she won't bother you again.
I roll my eyes. I can handle Isla. He grins.
You can.
Yes, and you're missing the point. Why didn't you just come and tell me you were leaving? When he opens his mouth to respond, I give him a sharp look, and don't say you didn't have time. He runs a hand over the back of his neck and stares at the foot of the bed.
I should have gone back to your chambers to say goodbye. I know that. But before, when I was kissing you, tasting you, when I had you beneath me on that bed.
My cheeks flush, but he doesn't seem remotely embarrassed.
I lost control of myself. I felt the wolf.
I'm not afraid of you. I've told you, the wolf doesn't scare me.
But I was scared. The only time I feel out of control like that is when the moon is full. No one has made me feel that way before, and I was afraid.
You're afraid of losing control with me?
Of course I am.
Something sad blooms inside my chest, and my throat thickens. I look away, my jaw tightening. Oh, right.
That upsets you.
I hear the confusion in his voice. I shrug and force myself to bite into my bread. No, I understand. The bread is dry as it makes its way down my throat. You need to trade me for the heart of the moon. You said you wouldn't touch me. I'd be worthless to Sebastian if you lost control around me. Callum doesn't respond.
All I can hear are the flames crackling in the hearth, the wind outside, and my own angry heartbeat. Carefully, he stacks my plate on top of his and places them both on the bedside table. He puts his hand gently on my jaw and turns my head so I'm looking at him. He looks more serious than I've ever seen him, perhaps even a little sad.
Do you truly think that?
His brow furrows.
Do you truly think I give a shit about Sebastian? That I would give him the slightest bit of consideration when it comes to you and me? Princess, I made a promise not to touch you because it's the right thing to do. And it's a promise that gets harder to keep every day, every hour, every second I'm around you. But I must, because I took you.
He shakes his head, and his voice thickens.
I took you from your home, and your bed, and your people. I made you my prisoner, Aurora.
His eyes are shining, and he turns his attention to the posts at the end of the bed.
You think there's always a choice, but there's not. Not without freedom. You can't choose me when you're not really free.
I'm blindsided. Emotions hurtle around my chest like the winds rattling the windows. Callum, you didn't take me prisoner. I'm not sure if I'm relieved, or confused, or amused, or heartbroken. It is overwhelming. And yet for once, I don't want to push the emotions away. I want to embrace them. I want to feel. I shift on the bed and turn his face toward mine. I chose to come, and I'm glad that I did. I have never felt more free than when I am with you, and, well, I take a deep breath. There's another thing. His eyebrows knit together.
What is it?
I chew my bottom lip. I was planning on giving my father information about the wolves once you had sent me back. I was going to use it to get out of my marriage with Sebastian. Callum stills. At some point during our time together, I let myself forget he is a fierce warrior, though it is obvious now from the tightening of his jaw and the tension he emits. Was I foolish to admit this to him? He told me before that he would die to save his people.
Are you still planning to do that?
He asks. I don't want to marry him, Callum.
I know that. But...
He puts his hand on my cheek.
What you've just told me, you cannot tell anyone else. If the king finds out, please tell me you understand that.
I'm not a fool. Something like relief blooms in his eyes.
No, you're not.
A soft smile plays on his lips, and he shakes his head.
My wee spy.
The word my stokes something inside me. You're not concerned, I ask.
It makes no difference to me.
He shrugs.
You're not going back to him.
And so you see, I was never really a prisoner to begin with. He drops his hand and sighs.
You might think that, Princess, but I disagree.
Oh, for the love of the goddess, Callum! Will you stop being such a big bloody gentleman? He raises his eyebrows and stills. His gaze drops down to my body and the shirt I'm wearing, and something unreadable flickers over his expression.
A spy, not a prisoner, huh?
When he meets my eyes again, mischief dances amid the darkness.
I never thought you'd ask me not to be a gentleman, Princess.
He drags his teeth over his bottom lip, as if considering something. Then he grins. In a sudden movement, he flips me onto my back and climbs on top of me, caging me between his arms. He brings his mouth to my ear, and I shiver as his warm breath touches my skin.
But I'll be happy to oblige,
he whispers. Chapter 43. My insides tighten. Callum's warm breath heats my skin, his lips almost touching my neck. His shirt is ridden up to my hips,
and I can feel the cotton of his breeches against the bare skin of my thighs. My legs are parted to accommodate him, my core pressed against his hard stomach. When he shifts, my breath catches in my throat as a jolt of need courses through my body. And the scent of him, goddess, the scent of him. He smells like heat and male and the mountains. He groans into my ear, and the sound vibrates through me.
You don't know how many ungentlemanly things I've thought about doing to you.
His voice is low, and his accent is even thicker than usual. He brushes his lips against my neck, then shifts so his face hovers above mine. His solid weight presses down on me. His forearms are flat on the pillow on either side of my head. I should feel trapped, held prisoner by his body. The strength of him, the sheer size of him, should make me feel weak. He is Alpha of Hyphel, a warrior and a wolf. I should be afraid. Yet I feel something else entirely. It is stirred by the quickening of his breathing and the look.